Father, we are so very glad that you did love us. Says that while we were yet in sin, you sent your Son to die for us, to give us of his blood, to give us of that Holy Spirit, to give us of the power and the ability of resurrection. And we want to thank you for today for that power. We want to ask, Lord, that you take control over the thoughts of my mind. Father, take control over my emotions. Take control over every aspect of my being that would interfere or in some way or another tarnish or taint that which you would want to have spoken today. So we commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And you say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. I would have much preferred not having the last meeting. It's always very difficult, especially if the one who is going to share is running on a tight schedule, which I am. I might also add, we would definitely encourage you to pray for Nancy and I. I am leaving on the 4th of December, traveling to Nigeria. I will be there for 1 month. We are going to various places in Nigeria. It's a very, very busy schedule, but I'm praising God. Brother Jokes had mercy on me and gave me some days of rest. When we come back from that trip, Nancy and I will be leaving on the 8th of January, traveling to Ethiopia. And there are many doors in Ethiopia that have opened for us in the universities. There is one particular meeting I have been told or informed that that they are going to be bringing me to. And it kind of blows my mind, and it kind of gives me, stage fright. Because I am told there's going to be at least 4,000 people in that one meeting. And so I personally do not feel adequate or qualified to be in that type of environment, but I trust that the Lord knows. There are many different doors in the universities in Ethiopia, all over Ethiopia. We started out with one location, which now opened in that location 5 university fellowships for us. Also, other cities. We got to minister to the graduating class of that university, and they were so impressed with the message that they have asked us to come to their local areas, which is north, south, east, west of Addis Ababa. So we will also be going to those doors. There is a very good possibility that I will be in Uganda. Nancy and I will be traveling to Uganda while in Ethiopia. And a very vague possibility that we might go to Sierra Leone. We are praying about it. You look at it, because we are there to the 1st of April. You think you have a lot of time, but the time gets eaten up very quickly. So we covet your prayers as we are in the midst of all of this. It is phenomenal what God is doing in Africa. If any of you want to come and visit us in Ethiopia, just write me a letter, and we will see what we can do about making room for you. That is if we're there. Praise the Lord. There is a particular word that the Lord spoke to me during the conference in Dubuque. And as I was going back over, I always go back over my tapes. I don't know if you guys go over the tapes, but I always go back over them because I want to know what I said. I have to know what I'm saying, what the Lord is saying through me, because a lot of the times when he called me, well, all of the time, it's not very, I don't know that I've ever deviated from it. The Lord said, you get up, you open your mouth, I will fill it. It's a peculiar message, ministry, and for me, it's quite intimidating. But nevertheless, I have found God to be very faithful. Very faithful. It is not to say I don't study my Bible. Not to say I don't spend time in the things of the Lord, seeking God, will and all that, because I do. I spend a lot of time in there. But the fact of the matter is, I have found that God just somehow, in some way, brings these things together when I'm here in this forum. Praise God. You know, it's kind of strange because people will walk up to me afterwards and say something about something and I don't remember saying it. And it's like that when you prophesy too, you know. You can prophesy over somebody and they say, well, what did you mean by this? And I said, what did I mean by what? And they'll say, I said, did I say that? And of course, I'll tell them, I don't know what I meant. You have to go to God and ask. But there was a word that the Lord spoke to me while I was in Dubuque, and I shared part of it. But as I was going back over it, I was aware there was something else. There was something else in this word that God at that time hid for me. You think God hides things from you? Praise the Lord. Well, He hid it from me. He hid it from me because he did not want me to go into it at that time. And I believe he was saving it for this time. But I was in Isaiah 7. You might want to go back over the tapes that we had in Dubuque and listen to the Dubuque messages. Praise God. They were very good. Brethren, there is so much revelation that God is bringing. I'm not talking about my tapes. I'm talking about the messages that God is bringing. Brother Eberry was here. I believe. Wasn't he here? He didn't come here? Huh? Yeah, but he's been here. Okay, so you know who he is. He has some of the things that the Lord has showed him are phenomenal. It gives you an understanding of what it is that we are dealing with. And, you know, the fact that you weren't there or here or whenever the message was, it will be no excuse because we have it recorded. Brother Gordon goes to a lot of trouble, Brother Gary, making sure that these things are available. They're on the line. You can download them. You can listen to them. You can video, see the videos. Otherwise, you can be blessed. And one of the indictments against us as a church, and I'm talking about Holy Place Church, one of the indictments about it is that we do not take the time to do that. We do not take the time to do that. You guys, you spend a lot of money putting all of this together. You spend a lot of time, energy, and life. You spend life putting it together. And it is not for just that moment of time. It's not for just those few short days. It's not for those few days. It is for the time frame after the conference. It is for the for your benefit to go into them, to get into them, and listen to them, and to inquire of God. So the thing about the tape is you can stop it. At a particular point, and make notes, look into the Word to see what it is that the Lord was saying, and find out whether or not it was really scriptural. Hallelujah. And one of the things that we are teaching the brethren in the different places of Africa who have not been in this Word is that they need to verify it with God. Hallelujah. I was in a particular place, and you know, whenever I go someplace, I says, you go to God and ask them about what it is we are bringing to you. I say that, don't I, Mark? Hallelujah. Many different places. Hallelujah. Go to God. You know, there's only two incidences that I know of where somebody went to God to ask God about me, or about what we are bringing. One brother in one of the countries in Africa, he went to God. We had a 3-day seminar, and he went to God about it. And he says, God, there is so many people coming into our country with so much about God, and they are bringing so much literature, and they are inundating us with so much of religion. Is what this man is saying concerning what they are bringing, I didn't say me, what they are bringing is of God? Well, the Lord gave him a dream that night. He had a dream of seven golden gates. And the gates were open, and behind the gates was this very lush growing green grass, very high, not typical to the land that we are in, you understand. Hallelujah. Very lush. And the man said he just wanted to jump in it, jump through the gate and roll in the grass. And but he wasn't given that privilege. But in a subsequent meeting, someone was ministering a ministry on the seven churches. And as they were ministering the word on the seven churches, the Lord spoke to the man and says, these are the seven gates. Hallelujah. That solidified it for him, you understand. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it is very important. I want to admonish you to get the tapes, go through your notes if you make notes, and look into the scripture and inquire of God as to the validity of what it is that is being shared. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to do that for your own safety, as well as for the fact of my safety or whoever is bringing you the word. You have to do that. Hallelujah. It is part of what is delegated as a responsibility to the congregation. And I'm not talking about being argumentative and confrontative. I am talking about touching the hem of God's garment. Praise the Lord. There is a word, and I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because I'm not necessarily categorizing myself in that place, but there is a word that the Lord brought in the Bible. Somebody could find it and make sure that it's a scriptural reference. It says that there will nothing happen, and I'm paraphrasing it, as far as civilization is concerned, as far as the world is concerned, unless God first reveals it to his prophets, right?
Amos.
Huh?
Amos.
Okay, it's Amos he's saying. Praise the Lord. Well, you can look it up just to verify it. Now, if you believe in the prophetic ministry that is in part of the fivefold ministry, then you have to have the discernment of that ministry. And you have to discern as to what it is they are saying as it pertains to you and I in that realm.
3:7.
Amos?
3:7.
Would you read it, please?
Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
Do nothing. What is that word? You have a concordance there, Gary. Nothing. What does nothing mean? I want to know what nothing is.
Dabar.
Huh?
It's Dabar, which is...
Need a microphone.
Praise the Lord. You can't get it? Well, I think nothing means nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. So nothing is going to happen without God revealing it or bringing it through a prophetic word, through a prophetic ministry, through a prophetic level of ministry. Praise God. Now, please, I don't really look at myself as a prophet. I really don't. I am involved in the prophetic ministry. And God uses me in that capacity, but for I don't know that I would ever really say that I was a prophet. But nevertheless, because I operate in that level or in that position, I cannot deny the fact that there are certain issues or things that God speaks to me that are pertinent for the body. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you may not like any of this. I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anyone. Praise God. But I have to make sure you understand where I am coming from. I believe that we as a people, as a United States people, are headed into a time frame of great distress. I believe that. Hallelujah. Great distress. Distress such as we as a people who have been used to freedom and liberty and prosperity and economical prosperity that has become as a custom and a way of life. I mean, you don't have to worry about getting in your car and driving down to a road to say if you want to go to Oklahoma, if you want to go to Colorado or anything. You just get in your car and go. You don't have people having to stop you on the street as you're driving to check the registration of your car and to look at your license and all of that to validate who and what you are. You as a people have not had to deal with that type of suppression. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I cannot really count how many times I've had the car stopped and a gun pointed at me and somebody jacked a shell in the chamber. Hallelujah. Of the gun, because they were somewhat antagonistic against me. You understand? Hallelujah. Or you're driving down the street in a crowded section of town and somebody knocks on your window and points at you and he says, "White man, go home." Hello? That's happened to me on more than one occasion. In fact, we were in this place ministering, and it became so violent that the Nigerian people that and the other people that I was with, it's not in Nigeria. I was sitting in the driver's seat. They took not the passenger seat in the front. They took me out of the passenger seat and set me in the back seat, and they sat on the outside. Hallelujah. I thought maybe they thought the reflection would dim the brightness of my reflection or something. I don't know. No, they were looking after my safety because they were concerned about me. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You have not had to deal with that. Not in this society. Not in this realm of which we have had the privilege of living. But I am telling you, by the Spirit of God, it is coming to a close. Hallelujah. It is coming to a close, and it's going to close faster than what I even anticipated to be closing. Hallelujah. So there is a necessity for us to understand the reality of what it is that God is bringing us as far as the word of sonship is concerned. Because, you know, God built an ark, in the day of Noah, and he is now building an ark in the last days. But he's not building an ark out of wood, he's building it out of lively stones.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the whole concept of what it is that we have is based on the premise of Revelations, the 12th chapter. Isn't that not true?
Yeah.
Huh? Isn't that the culmination of the message? Isn't that the place of fruition? Isn't that not where it is that we as a people desire to be? Or did I hear something different when I was 20-some years of age? Did I hear something different? Wasn't it not that you and I were to be a part of the bride of Christ?
Yes.
Do you remember the message?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Hallelujah. And did it not excite you? And was not that bride supposed to come into a relationship with a predestined or preordained husband by the name of Christ? Right? And in that relationship, they were to produce what?
A
child. And that's the whole concept of the message that we have. The producing of a man-child. Now, it should be of no consequence to us to look around us and see what is happening in the realm of the church. Because if that is true, if that premise is true, and if that is something that of an event that is about to take place, then that means the devil has to stop it. He has to try and stop it because he really believes he can stop it. He does. He believes he can stop it. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. So anyway, let me go back. Back to what I was saying a little bit about the fact of there was a story in Kings, the sixth chapter, that the Lord brought to me today. And it's interesting that in Kings, the second chapter, in the second Kings, the sixth chapter, praise God, hallelujah, Israel, as in chapter 7 of Isaiah, is dealing with Syria. And, you know, I think it's very pertinent to us if we look at some of the natural things concerning what is happening in the realm of conflict and wars. Syria is playing a major point in the Middle East. It is a major player. Hallelujah. And we know that, we know by news and different things that are going on, that Syria is allied with Russia. Hallelujah. And one of the reasons why Syria has not capitulated is because of the Russian strength that has been poured into them. Hallelujah. And the covering that Russia is giving to that regime. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But here again in the history of the church, Syria is attacking Israel. And they were making plans, and as to what they were going to do. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. And the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such a place shall be my camp." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened? Huh? God was sitting in on the war schemes. God was there in the midst of what it was they were planning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know, there was an experience I had that was unique, but it is not unique in that it was something that happened to me only, and that no one else has the ability to be in that position or that place. Because you all have that ability, you understand. If you have a sensitivity, if you have a desire for God, and if you are pushing the kingdom, pushing against the kingdom of darkness for the light to illuminate any darkness that is within you, you have the ability to be sitting in these types of situations. Now, why would you want to do that? Huh? Well, you would want to do that for one thing, in that you might be able to prevent the devil from doing what it is the devil wants to do. Hallelujah. And that is probably one of the major reasons why God would take you into that type of experience. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know what the devil was planning ahead of you so that you could avoid it? Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. My mother, you know, my mother gets wiser and wiser as I get older and older. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But she said, forewarned was what?
Forearmed.
Hallelujah. So the king was making certain plans. The king of Syria was making certain plans. Hello? And they were laying down certain strategy. And God was allowing the prophet Elijah to be there in the midst of it. Hallelujah. You know, I never really coordinated the experience I had. The experience I had in Sierra Leone as to being into the devil's business until this morning as I was contemplating and reading this verse. And had I probably been a bit more sensitive, had I probably been a bit more bold, had I probably been a bit more consecrated in my mind or in my soul, I might have even have been able to discern or to know more about what was happening. Hello? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the things that it does for me personally is it whets my appetite to try and fix the situations of my soul that would prevent me from having that type of prevent me from having that ability to hear more precisely.
Yes.
Hello. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. You know, if I had the ability to hear God in the plans of the devil, and God would, I hear the devil plotting to do something to the plane I'm going to get on. You understand what I'm saying? Am I going to get on that plane? Well, I hope not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there's a place of sanctification, there's a place of consecration, hallelujah, that I believe that God is requiring of me personally, and as us, as a group, as a body, that we might be able to be able to be utilized by God in the way that God wants to utilize us. But you know, brethren, the devil is more aware of your privilege than you are aware of the privilege that you have in God. And so he wants to stop you from doing what it is that you would do to stop him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I have a word for you, sister. God, I am very much aware of a divine intervention in your life. You were headed down a direction. You were headed down a path. And the devil had a plan for you. And it looked good, it felt good, but it just was not the perfect will of God. And I say that because I want to say that God has a perfect will. There is a provision. There is a provision. God sees your heart. He sees your desire. He sees the intensity of your soul and the yearning of it and the thing that it is that you want, that you believe will bring to you the fulfillment of life. Hallelujah. God is aware of it. Not only is God aware of it, but God has in many ways enhanced it, encouraged it, and created it. And I'm here to tell you that God doesn't do something like that unless he has the ability to provide it. So I want you to be encouraged. You look to God. Do you hear me? Don't look to man. Look to God. Put it on the back burner. Put it on the back shelf. Begin to press into God concerning your position, your relationship with him. And all of these other things will fall into place. And you have to be prepared, you know. You have to be prepared. Because in the aspect of marriage, it is a total, absolute, revolutionary experience in your life. Something you've never done before or done in the right manner, in the right way. Hallelujah. And there are certain things that God has to fix. Hallelujah. But he can't fix them unless you come to him and ask him to fix them. And if you come to him and ask him to fix them, he'll fix them. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there is a place that God wants us to come into with regards to the revelation of that Christ within us. Hallelujah. You know, I think the church is probably somewhat in the place of the Galatian church in the aspect of the fact that Paul was saying, I travail again, little children. What? Hallelujah. Well, that you have the knowledge of Christ. Huh? Oh, yeah, it's form. Form means a process. It means a development of an entity, of a personality. Hallelujah. In the same way, you know, we want to spiritualize it. We want to put it out there in the ethereal realm. Hallelujah. And I suppose a woman can relate more to it if she has had a child than a man. But the fact of the matter is, there is a process, there is something very difficult sometimes about pregnancies. Isn't that right? We have a pediatrician here who specializes in special cases. Hallelujah. And there are many things that can happen in the process to try to divert it or abort it.
Yes.
Hello? Hallelujah. And none of us have yet come to that position or that place of the manifestation or the formation of that child by which he might be delivered. You understand? So the devil is wanting to abort it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not to mention all of the innocent blood that has been shed in order to make sure that those that might have come would not succeed in coming. But you know, the devil couldn't kill Christ in the day of Herod. The devil cannot kill Christ in this death day.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. I just don't want to be guilty of fabricating or manufacturing or instigating the abortion. I'm not an abortionist practitioner. But in spiritual abortion, some of us can be guilty. Now, I didn't say you. Did I say you? I said some of us, and that us includes me, can be used as an abortion instrument. And it's not a matter of me defining for you that aspect of where you are and what you are doing. Hallelujah. It is in the aspect of your position of relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know. I was raised in a different area as far as Christianity was concerned. Nobody had to tell me what it was I was doing wrong. They didn't have to tell me. Now, I am not a Christian, right? I'm in a bar, and I'm drinking, and I'm smoking, and I am being condemned. I feel the condemnation of it.
Amen.
I get tangled up with some boys, and we go out to have a good time. And we do some bad things. And I can't really be jovial or laughing about it. Now, some people can do that. I don't know. But for me, I had this nagging.
Yeah.
I had this nagging, knocking on my door, nagging, 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 nagging. And I felt condemned.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Somebody didn't have to come to me and tell me I'm a sinner. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I had known about God, I had heard about God, I believed in some aspect of the reality of heaven and hell. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody had to lead me in a sinner's prayer. Do you understand me? I said to God, I am a sinner. When the Bible was read to me and it says we all have what? Come short. Huh? I knew I had come short of the glory of God. They didn't have to tell me, you have come short of the glory of God. And when I went down to the altar, and when I was saved, I began to, well, at 8 years old, I didn't have to deal with drinking and smoking and all of that sort of stuff. But I knew that I was a bad, bad boy. I had a habit of lying. I would steal candies and things of that nature when nobody was looking. I would do bad tricks on people. Hello? I knew that I was a sinner. Nobody had to lead me into confessing what it was I was sinning in. And when I came back to the Lord, it is the same story, but it was more compounded. It was more complex. Hello? I had to come to the realization that what I was doing was alienating me from God. It was my responsibility. Hello? Hallelujah. We want to make it easy. We want to somehow facilitate. You know the story of the butterfly, right? Huh? The thing, he has to fight his way out of that cocoon. If you do something to eliminate the stress of it coming out of it, you take away its capacity to fly. That's what it is. It takes away its capacity to fly. Hallelujah. So it's necessary for it to fight its way out of the cocoon. Hallelujah. It's necessary for me to fight my way out of my death and condemnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I came back to the Lord, there were so many things that were in my life that I had habitually, time after time and time and time again and time again, done that they became habitually a part of my nature, a part of my character. I did them without even thinking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I came to God and I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I thought in the baptism of the Holy Spirit it would erase all of these things. Hallelujah. I was a drunkard. I was addicted to nicotine. I had profanity that you would not believe. My mind was one obscene, profane thought. Hallelujah. You know, it's one thing to stop it with your mouth. It's another thing to stop it in your mind. Hallelujah. Do you think a man had to come up to tell me that my smoking was not conducive to God? Absolutely not. Do you think the man had to come and tell me that my drinking was not conducive to righteousness? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Hallelujah. I intuitively knew because I had been born again down there when I was 8 years old. Hallelujah. And I was desperate. I was desperate because I knew that if I did not do something, no preacher came to me, no person came to me to tell me, you will lose your ability of heaven. I didn't know the realm of what we are knowing. I just knew heaven and hell. That's all I knew about. I did not want to wind up in hell. Amen. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. So I began to seek God for that experience, that thing that I believed that would eliminate my problem, eliminate my position of condemnation. My God. Hallelujah. And I got down and I sought Him and I sought Him and I sought Him and I sought Him. Hallelujah. Not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days. I went back. We were going to a Pentecostal church at the time and they were having a revival and I was down there every day, every night, down at the altar asking God, do something about this. Do something about this, because I knew nobody had to tell me. They didn't have to tell me. And you know what? God did not make it easy for me. He waited on me. Do you hear me? He waited to see if I was going to come back on Tuesday. He waited to see if I was coming back on Wednesday. He was waiting to see if I was going to come back on Thursday. He was waiting if I was going to come back on Friday. A loving God. A loving God. Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. Pushing me, trying me, and all the time these demons, these devils, they're gnawing on me. They're accusing me. They are coming down on top of me. Hello? My God. Hallelujah. And the last night of the revival. Revival. Well, it was my revival. You know, the first night I was down there, there was a multitude of people around me praying for me. Second night, a little less. Third night, a little less. Fourth night, whole lot less. Hallelujah. And you think the devil's going to leave that alone? And you don't think you're not going to look around and say, wonder, where did all the support go for? Huh? Where did all the prayer help disappear at? How come it's evaporating? And the devil comes and says, because you're no good. Because you are hopeless. Devil right there in church with me at the altar. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last night, nobody. And I said, God, this is my last chance. And a little old man came up to me, Enoch Christofferson. Never forget him. He had a belt. He was in the turkey business. I thought that was pretty apropos. On his belt it said, Turkey Man. I'm telling you, this happened when I was 20 some years of age, early 20s. Hallelujah. I remember every detail. I can't tell you about anybody else that came up there to pray for me. But I can tell you this man, he had white and it glowed that night. He put his arm around me and he began to pray for me. And he was speaking softly in tongues. He didn't say anything. He just loved me. There, kneeling down on the altar. Amen. God spoke to me. I heard the English in this ear. I heard the tongues in this ear. Hallelujah. And God said, speak. Open your mouth. Now listen to what he said. I gave it to you on the first day. Yes. He waited to the last day to give me that information. When he said that, I just broke loose. I had a glorious experience. But brethren, that is, the point is that on the morrow of the morning after, yes, I found myself in a hellacious predicament in that what I was looking to be delivered from, I still had it. Hello? Hallelujah. I still had it. What am I going to do now? Devil comes and he says, you see, God is a liar. Hallelujah. What you thought was the remedy is not working. Hallelujah. I got up out of my bed. I went into the living room. And I looked up to my mother's ceiling. And I said, God, if you cannot deliver me, kill me, because I do not want to live in this condition. Don't want to live. Just me now and God. God came into that room, knocked me down on the floor. My God. You know what the first thought, my mind? Huh? You know what the devil says? He is going to kill you. You know what my first thought is? I don't want to die! I'm talking about how the devil works. I'm talking about the mechanics of it. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, when I got off of that floor, I was delivered. Hallelujah. 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 Are you that desperate? Are you in that position? Are you in that place? It's a good place to be in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can do some very impossible things. Hallelujah. So we have this king. And he is warring against Israel. And God talks to his servant and tells him what's going on. And the servant runs to his king and tells him. Praise the Lord. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 7. And what I see here is some strategy of the devil. Now, brethren, please. This is strategy and plans of the devil. These are how spirits work. Hallelujah. We as a people are manipulated by spirits. And in chapter 7, in verse 1, it's talking about a conflict. Hallelujah. It's talking about a conflict, not only of Syria against Israel, but Israel against Judah. Good. Hallelujah. Hello, are you listening to me? There is a strategy here on how the devil is now working. And God is revealing his plan. God is revealing the devil's plan and how it is that he intends to bring it to a place of fruition. The major issue here in this chapter is not Syria. The major issue here is the contingent of the church that is called Israel. Hallelujah. And you know, it's very interesting. It's interesting, and I'm going to just put it out on the table, and I would that you would go and look into it, inquire of God. But in this situation of this particular king, I think his name of Israel, I think his name was Pekah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Pekah.
Yeah.
Son of Remaliah.
Pekah got his position of authority and kingship by a coup. It was a military coup. Hallelujah. Because he was a captain in the army of Israel, and he murdered the king then present and stepped into his place. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This, to me, signifies how the devil is coming into the church to utilize the thing of the church to attack the church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There was a word that the Lord spoke to me several months ago, and the word that he spoke to me was a spirit of character assassination. Hello? Now, I am talking about spirits. I'm talking about spirits and how they work. Hallelujah. You know, many years ago, Brother Ducille told me. He says, if you want to destroy a message, destroy the credibility of the messenger.
Yes.
And if you destroy the credibility of the messenger, you cancel or void the power of his message. Hallelujah. Now, we are talking about spirits and how they work. Hallelujah. I feel to tell you a little testimony. When we were in Germany many, many years ago, we met a black knight. And that black knight, we had come in to that particular place for a particular... It was one of the first times that we had the opportunity of sharing this word, and there were several people in the room. Brother and Sister Mavis were to come from Iceland to Germany. We were to meet them there. Brother George and I went in first, and we were waiting for their coming. And they got delayed by an ice storm in Iceland. And they were there all weekend. So they were not able to make those meetings. And brethren, I don't know, this was in the early days. And the meetings fell upon George and I's shoulder. It was totally out of our league. But you know, God, in His mercy, in His goodness, He met us. And the meetings were very well, very good. And we were aware of what it was the Word was doing, because at the end of the meeting, there was a vision, and in the vision, this black knight came into the midst of that gathering. Came upon his war horse. Hallelujah. And he had a glove, a gauntlet type glove. He took it off, and he threw it down at the feet of those people. Well, what do you think that meant? He was declaring war. He was declaring war on these people on the basis of the message that they had heard in those preceding days. My God. I can't even tell you. I'm not going to reiterate how it was and what the devil did to disseminate that whole situation. One of the persons died. I'll tell you that much. And not too long after that. Hallelujah. Unexpectedly dropped dead. Huh? And he completely disseminated that fellowship. Hallelujah. In fact, he did such a good job that it was many years before we were able to come back into Germany. And we have just recently had a breakthrough in Germany. Hallelujah. But I was sitting in a meeting here several years ago, and as I was here, I saw a contingent of hell, and they were talking together as to what they might be able to do to stop the advancement of the move of God. You know what they did? They imported that spirit. Hello? They imported that spirit to orchestrate and to oversee the destruction of the fellowship. Hallelujah. It does not have to have the same results. It does not have to have the same position of devastation and destruction if you believe it. Because you have an authority to rise up in God to overcome it.
Hallelujah.
But you have to understand the spiritual warfare that you are involved in. Hello? You do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Hello? And character assassination, brethren, is just like a sniper who is hid someplace up in and some recluse remote place, and he sees his target coming, and he puts that crosshair right there on his head or on his heart, and he pulls the trigger. You're dead, dead, dead. As far as those who are infected with that assassination demeanor and behavior. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this king, hallelujah, this king rose up against the king of Judah, who was the son of Uzziah. Hallelujah. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. My goodness. Praise God. He was the son of Uzziah. Hallelujah. And he made a league with Syria. Hello? Well, is it strange that a murderer, a character assassinator, would make a league with Syria? With the devil? Hallelujah. Is it beyond our capacity to comprehend that ability or that type of wickedness? Hallelujah. What I believe that God is wanting to do in the light of all of these things is to make us aware of our position of contributing to it. How we are vulnerable, how we are susceptible. I am not putting my finger on any one individual. I am not saying this friend is right and that one is wrong. Because when Jesus Christ met Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, Joshua asked, are you on my side? Or are you on their side? And God said, I am on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. And fact of the matter is, there is something of culpability on both sides of any argument. And I'm not talking about just the argument here. Hello? I'm not just addressing an argument here. This is bigger than this. This is bigger than this. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have been called. I have been called to the position of that place of the overcoming saints of God.
Amen.
That means I have to overcome every propensity in my being that is in opposition to the thought of death and dying to self.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and the devil. Well, let me read it to you. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 14. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Hello? Not about you. Who you are, what you are, what you aren't. It's not about you. It's about the devil and what he wants to do and what it is that God is trying to stop him from doing.
Amen.
Hello? Has nothing to do with you. You just happen to be a victim of the circumstances. You should not be a victim. You should be a fix. Hallelujah. I don't care on what side of the fence you're sitting. Hallelujah. On whatever argument you might be involved with. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's five times he says, I will. Five times. What is the number five indicative of?
Ministry.
There is a ministry of hell that is promoting the I will.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I have to be wise. I have to be determined. I have to be consecrated. I have to be sanctified. Hello? Because you know how it is. Somebody comes and they want to tell you something about somebody else, and you know something you want to hear, but you don't want to hear, but you want to hear. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God had a solution to this problem, you know. Back here in chapter 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a marvelous chapter. I'm asking you, go into the chapter and read it. It indicates, it lays out, it enhances yours and my ability to understand the conflict in which we are in. Look up the names. Look up the words and the things that it applies to. Not only was the king of Israel, hallelujah, involved in war against Judah, but they wanted to go up to where?
Jerusalem.
They want to go up to Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem?
City.
I'm sorry?
City.
Yeah, but what is that city? Huh? Is it not a collection of souls, of individuals? Huh? It's not an actual city, is it? Hallelujah. Jerusalem was the apple of God's eye. Where was Mount Zion? Huh? Was it not in Jerusalem? Hello? So the prize is winner takes all. Hello? The winner takes all. Now, who am I going to facilitate? Who do I want to facilitate?
God.
Hallelujah. I don't want to facilitate the devil. Huh? Willingly, unwillingly, knowingly, ignorantly, I do not want to facilitate the devil.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But sometimes I'm ignorant. And God has to confront me in my ignorance. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, it is only God that can make a blind man see. It's only God that can raise a dead man and give him back life. It's only God. Huh? Hallelujah. He wanted to go against it says that he went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hello? That doesn't mean he's not going to try. That doesn't mean that he is not trying. That doesn't mean that he's not facilitating the aspect of coming up against Jerusalem. We sing a song about Jerusalem, don't we? Oh, holy city. What is it? Huh? No. Huh? I can see the holy city.
I can see the new Jerusalem.
Coming down from heaven. Hallelujah. This is not about Syria. This is not about something that happened in the Old Testament. This is a story that God gives us to give us the strategy of the devil and how he is working in this end time. Hallelujah. 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 My God. And it was told the house of David. Verse 2 says, Syria is, now listen, Syria is a confederate with Ephraim. The plot thickens. Ephraim means a double portion, a double fruitfulness. Huh? Hallelujah. Ephraim came out of the loins of Joseph, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He was what? The deliverer. The savior. Huh? Hello? Come on, am I the only one that's seeing it? Huh? Ephraim, double portion, double fruitfulness. Hallelujah. He's talking about the sons of God. Oh yes. Turn back over here to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. What does it say? What is one of the blessings? Be what?
Fruitful.
Be fruitful.
Multiply.
Replenish the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have the outer court. You have the world. And now you have a league with Ephraim. To do what? To destroy. To destroy the heart of Judah. Confederate. What does that mean? Can somebody define it for me? What does a confederate mean?
You're equal partners in a political agreement.
political.
Okay.
Both have the same reason.
All right. Yeah, but we can even get a little more precise because we all are American history people, right? Didn't we once have a Confederacy? Huh? That's right. What was it? It was a. They had a name. Confederacy of what? What was it? Did they have a?
It's Confederate States of America.
Confederate States of America. Hallelujah! And they all came into agreement for one thing.
Yes.
Huh? To resist the rule of what was known as the Union. Hello. So you have the world, Syria. Well, you know, Syria is even more definitive than the world. It is the kingdom of hell. Hello. I suppose if you were a Syrian, you wouldn't like that too much. Oh boy. You know, I don't take these things very... I don't take them lightly. This thing's going out over the internet.
You want to know the Hebrew word for that, Confederate?
Yes, please.
It says it's a primitive root word to rest, to settle down. It's used in a great variety of applications, both literally and figuratively. Intransitive, transitive, and causative, to dwell, stay, let fall, place, withdraw, and give comfort.
Confederate. Does somebody have an amplified?
Yeah.
Hmm?
What verse do you want?
I want that verse.
Say it again.
7:2.
The house of David, Judah, was told Syria is allied with Ephraim, Israel, and the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people trembled and shook as the trees of the forest tremble and shake with the wind.
Oh boy. It doesn't define Confederate. No. Break it down.
Allies.
Hallelujah. And all of this arrangement, it did what? And the heart of his people, it moved, and his heart was moved. That is Judah, David's house. Hallelujah. You know, we are not talking about David. We are talking about the seed of David that is known as Christ.
Amen.
Because Christ came out of the house of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is giving us a lesson in military strategy. So that we might know how to pray. So we might know how to war. There is a scripture that I like that says, teach my fingers to fight, or my hands to war. Teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, I read these things and I have to repent. I have to repent of this attitude, that action. And I don't mean I'm just saying to God, I'm sorry. I have to go and make restitution. My goodness. Hallelujah. And his heart was moved in the heart of his people as trees of wood are moved with the wind. My goodness. Hallelujah. Are you familiar with the scripture that says we are as trees of righteousness? Huh? This is not talking about the description of those trees of righteousness, because those trees of righteousness, it says they shall what? Be planted by the river of life. Didn't it say that? Living water. I like that. Living water. Hallelujah. And their roots shall go down, and their boughs shall bring forth leaves and fruit, and what else? They shall not be moved. Or am I getting two scriptures mixed up into one? Thank you. Maybe you will. It says they were moved with the wind. That means you're sitting there and you're going like this. Knees knocking. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the Lord said unto Isaiah, now listen, this is the good news. This is the good news. Then the Lord said unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz. Isn't it? He brings the prophetic word to confront the king in his position of trepidation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the Lord said unto Isaiah, go forth and meet Ahaz and Shirajashub, right? Thy son at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Oh my goodness. We could go into those, but I don't have the time. And say unto him, this is not a word to Isaiah to Ahaz. This is a word that God is bringing to the end time church. Hallelujah. Which church I hope we are. Take heed and be quiet. Don't you like that? Huh? It's like God pulls you up short. Take heed. Huh? Take heed and shut up. Take heed and be quiet. Look and see. Look and see what that. I want to know when it says be quiet. I want to know what it means. Hallelujah.
It says be quiet, be tranquil, be at peace, be quiet, rest, life.
All right.
Be undisturbed.
Undisturbed. Hallelujah. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it. Hallelujah. And let us make a breach therein for us and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Hallelujah. God is showing you what the devil is trying to do. He's being very clear. He's being very specific about it. He's giving you the strategy of hell against you, against me, and against all of those who are out of the house of Judah. Amen. Hallelujah. Which house I am. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Then saith the Lord God,
yes,
it shall not stand.
Amen. Amen.
Neither shall it come to pass. Do you hear it?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
It shall not happen.
Hallelujah.
Neither shall it come to pass. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Loose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I going to hide myself in the corner and say, oh my goodness, Oh my goodness, this is happening, and this is happening, and that's happening. Oh, what's the use? What's the use? Nor am I going to stand up, hallelujah, and say, it shall not come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It shall not happen. Hallelujah. Somebody was talking about the mighty men of David. It's like saying, only over my dead body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the head of Syria is... Come on, brethren, pick up your paper. Read what is happening in the Middle East. Do you think that is just another Middle East crisis? It is a prophetic utterance of God. And He's writing it in blood and destruction. Hallelujah. For the head of Damascus is risen, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people, even as it was in the day of Isaiah, and the word of God that was spoken against Ephraim, so shall it now even be in this hour. God says, my word goeth out of my mouth to accomplish that which I have sent it to do. And if this is an allegory of the time frame we are living in and the conflict that we are having, it will be as it was written in this word according to the word of God. Loose! Hallelujah. I want to be on the winning side.
Amen.
I don't want to be on the losing side.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And right now I don't know which side to be on, but God does! And I can trust God!
Amen.
Hallelujah! I can trust God! Hallelujah! Moreover, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria. Oh my God! It was a mixture. The head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, no, I'm not going down there. I'm going to stop right here. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Did you hear it? If you do not believe, then you will not be a part of the establishment and the thing that God is wanting to do to bring deliverance, healing, and restoration as well as resurrection. Okay, listen to me. Even if it dies, do I believe I have the power of resurrection? Come on. Even if it dies, do we have the power of resurrection? Hallelujah. Brethren, we are in perilous times. Individually, perilous times. We are being confronted as to where it is we are going to be at the end of the day. I'm not determining who's going to be on the inside. I'm not determining who's going to be on the outside. When the door shut, that is not my determination. My determination is to be where I want to be in the inside when the door shut.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And to take as many with me as I can carry, if that is all at all possible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an individual position of decision. I trust we will all make the right decision. God bless you. God bless you.
So I understand it, just putting this on my chest makes me talk to everybody easily. As I understand it, if I caught properly, there are two battles that Brother Bird has been telling us about. There's the overall huge worldwide battle, and there's that spirit that has been imported here to destroy the fellowships, to destroy our unity. Is that about right? One of the things you're talking about is that spirit that's been imported. Pat and I were both at those meetings when we first heard about this Black Knight, and we remember his name. His name is Voltan, V-O-L-T-A-N. And I take the time to tell you this because it's one thing to say, God, please go get, oh, what's his name? You know, that guy we don't like. But it's Voltan is the exact spirit we are to pray against and come against. Voltan is the name of the Black Knight that did all that damage in Germany. And he's the one that has been imported here. Amen. To try to destroy our fellowship. So when you pray against him, you're not just praying against the vision of the Black Knight. You are praying against Voltan. Amen. Personally. You, the children of God, the appointed power of the Lord, are coming against Voltan, the enemy's big guy. Just want you to know, it's Voltan we're up against.
Praise God. John, as a representative, why don't you just pray to you that spirit? We will do you. Amen.
Amen.
Boom. Lord God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for claiming us, for taking us, for redeeming us. Lord God, we appreciate being your people. And in your name, with your power, we come against the spirit,
yes.
Voltan. We come against you. Every piece of power you have, we rebuke. We bind you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We come against you with the power of the Lord God Almighty. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over you. And we order you to be bound and constrained. We rebuke you. We come against you. We deny your power. You will not win in this arena. You are not in charge of us. We, the people of God, are in charge of you. We bind you. We rebuke you. We cast you out of our hearts. Lord God, help us to remember that spirits are liars. Right away they come and they tell us, oh, it didn't work. Oh, it didn't work. That was unsuccessful. Look, he's still here. He loses. He loses by the power of Jesus, by the power of God Almighty, because God himself gives us this power. He will lose. In the name of Jesus, we claim this power, and we come against you, Voltan, as a unit and individually to bind you and stop you from having this power in our hearts and in our fellowships. Lord God, please unite our hearts on you, with you, against this spirit, and for you, Lord God. Help us to come under your love, to act as the fellowship, as the people, as the body of Christ that you want us to. In Jesus' name we seek you, Lord. Amen.
I'll only be a second.
He's going to write your name. The visual.
Is it a V or a B that you were saying?
V.
V-O-L.
I'll only very brief here. This is the first time I think that I ever brought an amplified Bible with me, namely because in Dubuque I wanted to read one verse. But I'm reading here in this sixth verse, let us go up against Judah, that's us, and harass and terrify it.
Yeah.
This is the tactics of the devil. And let us cleave it asunder. Let us split it in half. Amen? And each of us taking a portion as set a vassal king in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Tactics of the enemy. Amen? But the good news is, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
This is, you know, like one of those street signs, you can't go here.
There you go.
But we don't have red, it's kind of red. But...
You want red?
It's all right.
I have some red here.
Not allowed. The blood of Jesus, amen?
Blood red.
Blood red.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I was glad that John got up. We just watched a Jamaica video before we came here, to Jamaica 2004, and John and Pat were there, and Brother DeSeal was talking about the power, the prevailing power of the blood of Jesus. And after the meeting was over, John stood up in the back. You can barely hear John. You know how John is. You can just barely hear him. But John stood up in the back and made a proclamation. Do you remember, Pat? And he said, I'm going to claim this for my life, for my wife, for my children, for our health, that the blood of Jesus Christ has prevailed on my behalf. And devil, you are not going to prevail. I mean, it was a powerful proclamation that John made. And when we saw John, Joanne and I both went up to him. We said, we just saw you in Jamaica 2004, and we just so appreciate that proclamation. And you're still standing on that proclamation, right, John?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And the blood shall prevail in each one of our situations, whether it be our physical, whether it be financial, whether it be in this battle in the spirit. I mean, we have been taught the weapons of our warfare. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the greatest weapon we have. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.